Well, it's Reformation Sunday today. Let's start with the good news. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives your sins and sets you free from the power of sin and death. That's the good news. That's what we're talking about. Hopefully that comes up every week. We're just going to start there this week and go on from there. So today I want to talk about what freedom means, that freedom that Jesus promises us in this gospel lesson today. It says we're no longer slaves to sin, but we are set free from the power of sin. So what does it mean to talk about freedom like Jesus does? I think last year on this same day, I had a similar kind of message, a little different maybe. And certainly you've heard this most of this stuff before. But it's worth revisiting, especially in this time, in this, you know, this election season. It's very fraught in our country right now. And there's a lot of people in the United States, of course, that talk about freedom. And when we talk about freedom, sometimes we don't always mean the same thing. As you all know, in this country, a lot of people talk about freedom, and they're not talking about the freedom we receive in Christ. Too many Americans talk about freedom as if it meant freedom to do whatever we want without consequences. Freedom from consequences is a fantasy, and it's an evil fantasy at that, because it encourages selfishness and it excuses cruelty, because my freedom is the only thing that matters. It's freedom from obligation to anyone, freedom from obligation to anyone, which is not true freedom at all. It's freedom to hurt others because their lives don't matter. It's freedom to take and hoard whatever you can get for yourself and never give or share with anyone else. That's the kind of so-called freedom that too many Americans talk about. This is not freedom. It's just selfishness and greed that turns into cruelty. We know that that's not freedom. We know that's not the freedom that Jesus intends for us. Jesus is talking about something else entirely. For my money, in of all the writings of Martin Luther, who started this Reformation stuff that we're into now, our tradition bears his name to this day. His writing, The Freedom of a Christian, which is sometimes translated as On Christian Liberty, this is the most important, the most central of his writings. My wife and I talk about it all the time, how it's our favorite thing, and how important it was for each of us to convert to a Lutheran worldview and understanding and to become Lutheran pastors out of the different traditions that we came from. So, In that writing, Martin Luther, you know, most of you have heard this before, but he writes about how the Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none, freedom from obligation to other people. And also, at the same time, the Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant to all, subject to all. In order to be freed in Christ, you're freed from obligation to other people, and you're freed to serve other people. And if you don't serve other people, then you're not truly free. If you don't serve God in the freedom given to us by Jesus, then you're not truly free. We are freed in Christ to serve God and to serve our neighbor. Not because we have to, not because our salvation depends on it, see, but because of what God has given us in Jesus Christ, because we know the gift that God has given us, the grace that God has given us, that nothing can keep us from the love of God, that there's nothing standing in our way, that we are justified, that we have received the reward that Jesus himself deserves instead of the punishment that our sinful lives deserve. And when we know this, we will be grateful. And that gratitude will lead us to love and serve God and our neighbor. That's the idea. That's the whole thing. That's how salvation works in a Lutheran Christian framework. That's the idea here today, that we are freed in Christ to love and serve our neighbor, not because our salvation depends on it, but because we are grateful for what God has done for us. Now, easier said than done, because actual gratitude is not always that easy. I mean, we know how that works in some people's real lives. You know, I think today about, you know, the negative examples, the wrong kind of freedom, the people who refused to wear masks during this pandemic. I mean, at first it wasn't clear what masks really did and there weren't enough, so you had to save them for, you know, nurses and doctors and things. But now there's enough masks, everybody's got one, everybody's got lots of them, there's enough masks around, and we know that it makes a difference. The people who refused to wear masks during this pandemic are engaging in this kind of selfishness masquerading as freedom. Get it? Masquerading? It's a pun on mask. This selfishness that is not real freedom. This so-called freedom has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about. Without love for your neighbor, there can be no true Christian freedom. That's the thing. If you disregard your neighbor, then it's not Christian freedom. It's some other thing, pretending to be freedom. And that's the trouble that we keep running into in this country again and again and again. Now we need to talk about today's gospel lesson specifically, because this is just one part of a longer sort of speech that Jesus makes to the people here today. So Jesus is in the temple. This is the Gospel of John. We've been in Matthew for most of the year. And Jesus has been in the temple in Matthew in the last days of his life. This one, in John's Gospel, he's not in the last days of his life. In John's Gospel, Jesus makes multiple trips to the temple. This is an earlier one, way back in the 8th chapter of John. Definitely not at the end of his life. But so Jesus makes this speech, and you hear at the beginning of our lesson today, he addresses it to the Jews who had believed in him, which is a weird designation and kind of puts up red flags for me right away. But if you go on and read the rest of this speech, which I don't think we do in the lectionary, it taken all together, this speech that Jesus makes has fueled as much anti-Semitism as any writing in the Bible, which is a lot. Later in this thing, and over a few verses later in verse 44, Jesus calls them children of the devil. And many, many Christians and many, many Lutheran Christians through the centuries have interpreted this to say that all Jewish people who have not accepted Jesus are children of the devil. That's what people have thought. This is wrong. This is not right. This is not where we're trying to go with this. But this is the history, and this is the history of our tradition. And in reading this, you know, beautiful, powerful thing about the truth will make you free, and I, Jesus, will make you free in today's gospel lesson, we can't ignore the way this has been used to harm, to literally murder Jewish people. And, you know, obviously the biggest one was the Holocaust in Germany and the millions and millions of Jewish people who were killed, among many other people also killed in that time, enemies of the Nazi state. And we can't forget also that Martin Luther himself wrote a lot of anti-Semitic stuff that was used to fuel the Nazi thing. But I mean, Jews have been killed because of this, and Christians all around the world, pogroms, I mean, Russia, I mean, all over the world. In this country, there's been anti-Semitism based on these same things, even in our own lifetimes, even in recent years. And so we as Lutheran Christians, we need to take seriously the history of this anti-Semitism. We need to remember that true Christian freedom does no harm to a neighbor, that true Christian freedom is about love and service for our neighbor. And we have to acknowledge on a day like this, especially our Jewish neighbor, who's been so mistreated by our specific tradition over the years. And so we got to talk about that. It's hard to read this part without it. So again, Christian freedom cannot come at the expense of our Jewish neighbors. Jesus never stopped being Jewish. I mean, duh. Like, everybody in the temple that day was a Jewish person. All of Jesus' disciples, all of his opponents, all of his followers, that's the whole context of this. John was writing his gospel to a community that was in conflict with local Jewish people, and that's partly why it gives this strong anti-Semitic vibe, but that's not an excuse. We need to know that that's not what this is supposed to be. Part of the way we know that, part of the way we can be sure about that, is that our other lesson today comes from Romans, our second lesson from Romans. And, you know, in this lectionary year A, we've heard readings from Romans like, I don't know, like 30 times, whatever I counted at one point, I forget the actual number. We've heard so much from Paul's letter to the Romans this year. And we've learned, and most of you probably remember us talking about in these sermons, about how Paul was writing to bridge the gap between Jewish and Gentile followers of Jesus. He was very, very clear, Paul was, that all of God's promises to God's people would be fulfilled, that none of the promises that God made to Abraham and to his descendants forever, the Jewish people, none of those promises were removed. Those promises were not negated. Jesus came and expanded those promises. He fulfilled those promises. He did not replace those promises. And in Romans, it's very clear, if you read it, that there's no place for anti-Semitism in following Jesus. Paul writes, "For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Now, in that Romans lesson, a couple of times in there, it has the phrase faith in Jesus Christ. But many of you have heard this before, that the translation of that Greek is ambiguous. It could also be through the faith of Jesus Christ. So when Paul is talking about faith, justified by faith apart from works of the law, it's not totally clear whether he's talking about our faith in Jesus or Jesus' faith in God, and therefore Jesus' faith in us. The cool kid way of doing it these days is to think of it as being Jesus' faith in God and Jesus' faith in us. It is the faith of Jesus that justifies us. It's not our faith. Even in our Lutheran tradition, certainly we understand faith as a gift from God, not something that we can even achieve on our own. It's not even our belief that can save us. We're not capable of it on our own. We're not consistent enough. We would fall short. We would falter. We would turn away and find some idol, whether it's money or whiteness or whatever it's going to be, TV, I don't know. There's so many idols we could take away. And that's why we rely on the faith of Jesus for our salvation. And once we've received this grace as a gift, and once we've received the faith that is the gift of God, then we can do these things we've been talking about. Then we can love our neighbor. Then we can love and serve God. This is the real message of Reformation. You know, we talk about Reformation and the Reformations, because it was different in Germany than in Sweden, than in England and Geneva or wherever. Through all these Reformations, and even the Roman Catholic Church had Reformations in the second half of the 16th century there. I wanted to talk today not about that history, not about sort of the Lutheran pride stuff, but get back to the scriptural basis for these things. And that's the core of the message. That was the insight that Martin Luther was able to sort of unlock and promulgate, and he got the help from the electors and the mayors and whatever, so that he could not just be crushed by the Roman Empire. So it worked, so he could get this message out, that it is the grace of God that gives us what we have, that sets us free to be the people God wants us to be. That's the thing. It's not about, I'd love to have some sort of cultural reformation. I'd love for people to actually be kind to each other and be good to each other. I'd love for people to understand in this country what freedom really is, that freedom is really freedom to be for others rather than to fearfully hoard everything for myself. Isn't that, that's the thing with Christian freedom, is you don't need to worry about your salvation anymore. It's done. You don't need to worry about yourself. God has got you, so you can worry about your neighbor. Maybe doesn't know that God has them, or who maybe needs food. Good Lord, our neighbors are suffering in these days, in this pandemic and the economic devastation wrought by it, and so many people homeless, and so many people out of work, and so many families struggling to feed their children, and school is a mess, and trying to educate your children, and everything is bad, and the numbers on the pandemic are getting worse every single day. Every day right now is the worst day of this pandemic in this country. That's what it is now. That's the reality that our neighbors live with. And we, as individuals, need to protect ourselves and make sure that we don't just go out and get ourselves sick. And we need to find ways to love and serve our neighbors. We need to find ways to make sure that people are fed, that people are housed, that people have their basic needs met, so that they can care for other people as well. That's the call. That's what Christian freedom is. That's the good news. That's the reformation that we need, is a reformation of caring for one another as a society, as a church, as a people. That's where we are. That's the promise that God makes to us in Jesus, that the grace, the faith, the freedom that we have in Christ comes at a price. It's not freedom to do whatever we want for ourselves. It's not freedom from consequence. It's freedom to love and serve God and our neighbor. So let's do that. Let's figure it out. Amen.